The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 16. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of olive oil,' he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, 'And how much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat,' he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to see wonderful things in your teaching. Amen. In the movie Ocean's 11, Danny Ocean, played by George Clooney, is planning the greatest heist of all time. He wants to rob the vault of three rich casinos. And so he starts planning. First, he needs a crew. He gets just the right 11 people to help him. Then they get the blueprints of the vault. They even build a replica so they can practice in it. They have the owner of the casinos tailed. They memorize his routine. They find out what he's like, what his security is like, what he does. They even steal this giant machine that will knock out the power in Las Vegas for a few minutes. All of this, and they have to do it quickly, because in 2 weeks, there's this big fight, and that's the night where the most money will be in the vault. They plan, they're clever, they scheme. So in one fell swoop, they can steal $150 million. And in our gospel reading for today, Jesus basically looks at these people and says, "Well done. What a heist. Be like them." And you're thinking, those guys, they might be lovable characters. Who doesn't love George Clooney? But they're thieves. They're robbers. They're cheats. They're schemers. And Jesus says, yeah, be like them. It's basically what he says in the parable of the shrewd manager, which starts like this. There was a rich man who had a manager who was accused of wasting his possessions. The rich man called him in and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be manager." Jesus gives us an easy scenario to imagine here. This guy's so rich, he has people who serve his people. He has a manager who takes care of all of his riches, but he hears the accusation that his manager has been unfaithful, using his master's stuff improperly. And so he calls him in to let him know that his time remaining with the company is measured in hours, not in days. He says, "Get the books together, give an account, because you're going to be fired. You can't be my manager anymore. I can't trust you." And the manager panics and then schemes and comes up with a plan. Jesus says, the manager said to himself, what will I do since my master is taking away the management position from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do so that when I'm removed from my position as manager, people will receive me into their houses. He called each one of his master's debtors to him. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 600 gallons of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 300. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 600 bushels of wheat. He said to him, take your bill, and write 480. The manager is desperate, and the clock is ticking, but he comes up with this plan to use his master's money to take care of himself with what little time he has left. So he calls the debtors in, one at a time. He says, come in. No, close the door. Here's a pen, sit down. No, don't worry about it, just sign your name there. Take 50% off your bill. 50% off your, don't ask questions, fire sale, just sign quickly, this sale won't last. Sign on the dotted line, good, now have a good day. Hey, and remember who helped you out. He calls in the other guy. Oh, wheat, prices are expensive these days. Tell you what, 20% off, $4,000. Who couldn't use $4,000 in their pocket? Sit down, quick, take the pen. Something wrong? No, nothing's wrong, I'm not sweating. Just sign. There you go. All right. Hey, for you and your family, anything. And remember who did this for you? The master finds out. Of course he does. It's his money. And he calls him in. And you're thinking, oh, I know what happens now. I know Jesus' parables. This is the weeping and gnashing of teeth part. Here we go. The master called in the manager, and he commended him because he had acted shrewdly. What? This master had lost $10,000 or so. And he calls in this dishonest guy and he says, good job. How? What is he commending? Well, it's not his thievery and it's not his dishonesty. He's still called the dishonest, the unrighteous manager. He did a bad job. But what does it say? He commended him because he had acted shrewdly. Wisely, in a clever way. The master realized what the guy had done, realized there's nothing he could do. He can't call these people back in and say, no, just kidding. He realized that now, when he fires this guy's going to be well taken care of because he used the master's money to win friends for himself. This guy's out of a job, and what can he do? He can walk right out. He can go to the door of the people he just helped and knock on the door and say, oh, you're not going to believe this, but I just got fired. And those people are going to say, wow, no, you were the best worker he had. Hey, you helped me and my family when I was in trouble. Get in here. We can't leave you out in the cold. Well done, the master says. Well played. What a heist. You used my money to win friends for yourself. And what Jesus is saying when he looks at this whole scenario is pretty much the same thing. He looks at it and he goes, well done. Now notice what he's not saying well done to. He's not saying well done to being unfaithful. He's not saying well done to being dishonest or unrighteous. But he is saying, that was clever. And then he turns to us, the children of the light, he calls us, and he says, why do the bad guys get to be clever all the time? What about you? You can be shrewd. You can be wise. You can be clever in an even better way. Jesus says, for the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of the light are. I tell you, make friends for yourself with worldly wealth. Unrighteous mammon, literally. Mammon, money, stuff. Make friends for yourself with this stuff, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into the eternal dwellings. Jesus is saying, just like that guy used his master's stuff to win friends for himself on earth, you can use your master's stuff to win friends, but not for this earth. Win friends for eternity. And Jesus has to tell us this, and he has to tell us this with an urgent parable, right? The master's calling him in. Uh-oh, I have to give an account, because it's so easy to use God's stuff in a wrong way, in an unrighteous way. That's what Jesus calls money here, literally in the parable, unrighteous mammon. And why does he call this worldly wealth unrighteous mammon? Well, it's because that's kind of its default setting. That's how it's most often used in this world. People are using it for unrighteous purposes, using it in dishonest ways, unfaithful ways, not using it for God. And Jesus here reminds us, look, if you're not using your money for God, then your money is using you, and time is running out. He says this, the person who is faithful with very little, that's money in this life, stuff, is also faithful with much. The good stuff God will give you forever. And the person who is unrighteous with very little is also unrighteous with much. So, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will entrust you with what is really valuable? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you something to be your own? No servant can serve two masters. Indeed, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You're either using money, using stuff to serve your master, or you're serving money. You're either using money for God or money is using you. Those are the only two options. So are you being faithful with God's money? Well, one way to check that, one way to know that, and one way to lead us to repentance is to look, am I using God's stuff to win friends for eternity? Because that's what children of the light do. Children of the light, not children of the world. Children of the light who know that this stuff is just very little compared to what God gives forever. It's very little. It's temporary. It's nothing compared to eternal treasures. And so we use it. We use it. We're not used by it. We use it to win friends for eternity. And why? Well, because that's how Jesus did it for us first. That's why you're called children of the light. It's not because we're perfectly faithful. It's because Jesus was. And he made you a child of the light. And he gave you eternal dwellings. And he will welcome you. Think about it. When Jesus came to earth, he came poor. But he did get frankincense, gold, and myrrh. How do you think he used that? Well, if I stick that in my 401k right now, you know, by the time I'm 70, I could probably buy Herod's palace. No, I don't know how he used gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but you know that he used it to serve God. He used it to serve you. Because this is what Jesus did with all God's stuff. Since before time began, the Father has entrusted to the Son everything in the universe. And he says, use this stuff for my glory. Use this stuff to save, to make children of the light. And that's what Jesus did. He pulled off the greatest heist in history. Because he knew that in the end, God the Father is going to call us in and he's going to say, hey, give me an account. Have you been faithful? And when that moment comes, Jesus says, hey, come, quick. What's your debt before God, your sins? Take that, make it zero. Those sins that you committed, take that, wipe them away. It's gone. Jesus did that to win friends for himself for eternity. What a heist. And who did he rob? It's himself. He robbed himself of the riches of heaven to give those riches to you, to give you grace, to win you as a friend for himself forever. And that's what you are, a child of the light, welcomed by God's grace into eternal dwellings, given what's really valuable, the gospel and the eternal blessings it brings. And so in this parable, Jesus is telling you, like Danny Ocean, join me. Hey, this is a lucrative deal. This is a good heist. Let's start planning. yeah, here's some stuff. Here's some stuff. A little bit of stuff here on this earth. Now let's find out how to use it in a clever way to win friends for yourself in heaven. That's partially why we're here as a congregation, joined together. It's more fun doing a heist together. It's more than Ocean's 11 this morning. It's Jesus's 100 or so. But we're all together to scheme a little bit this morning, to be clever, to think, how can we use this stuff that God has given us together in order to win friends for heaven? That's what you do here. You think about the offering in a little bit. You pass the plate. Maybe you're giving electronically, or maybe you're giving in the plate, but let's just imagine you've got a $20 bill and you put it in the plate. What is that? It's a piece of paper. It's colored fancy, but it's paper. It will burn in the end. It's a signed value for this life. That's it. But you put it in that plate, and it goes to glorify your God, and it pays a teacher, and a teacher teaches a child. Maybe you'll never meet this child. Maybe you don't know this child's name, but this child grows up to know her Savior. And on the last day, when you stand before God, that child's going to look at you and say, well played. You took that 20 bucks, and you won a friend for heaven, forever. That's a heist. You think about that offering we got together last year to build chapels in Nepal, about $20,000 to build one chapel. But they're shrewd on the other side, too. They told us, actually, there's a lot of volunteer materials and labor. They're going to use it to build three chapels. And about 200 people are going to gather in these three different chapels to worship God together. And what's going to happen on the last day? When every tribe, language, nation, and people gets together, there's going to be that tribe and that language that you've never met before, you've never heard their language before, and one of them is going to look at you and wave and say, well played. You want a friend for eternity. We have a baptism in late service today. The post office sells the names of people who move into the area, and St. Paul's buys those names for about $100 a month. And so they get postcards, and faithful people go out and deliver cookies and say, hey, do you want to know about our church? And this couple said yes. And they got two little kids who aren't baptized, and they want them baptized. Are you kidding me? We took $100 of unrighteous mammon, and this means that two little girls are going to be your friends for eternity? What a heist. Well played. And the only reason we can do this is because our Savior did it for us first, and 2,000 years of children of the light have been doing this for you. Not only are people going to greet you and thank you on the last day, but you're going to have an eternity to thank 2,000 years of Christians who took their coins, who took their money, who used their plans, who used their stuff to pass on the gospel to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation so that it could come to you. That's what it's all about, this side of heaven. Using God's stuff. Why? So we can have friends for eternity. That's even the real reason Danny Ocean was pulling off that heist. It wasn't about the money. Sure, they stole $150 million, but he arranged this entire heist so that at the end, he could stand face-to-face with the owner of these casinos. And why did he want to rob him? Well, because this owner had stolen George Clooney's wife, now ex-wife. And so he staged it perfectly so that the cameras would be on and his ex-wife would be watching at the end when George Clooney walks up to the bad guy and says, what if I told you that if you gave up tests, I could get you your $150 million back? Would you do it? And the guy says, yes. And his girlfriend's watching, and now she knows that this guy cares more about stuff, money, unrighteous mammon, than he cares about her. And Danny Ocean walks away not just with $150 million, but he walks away with his wife too. Now that's a heist. And that's what we're a part of, this side of heaven. using the stuff God has given us by God's grace with the strength Jesus gives us to win friends for Him, to win friends for heaven. And what a joy it will be in the end when we trade this stuff in. When we trade in the little that God has given us to manage in this life for the big stuff that you can't even imagine, you can't even describe, the heavenly treasure, that eternal value. When we trade in service in this life for eternal, perfect service of our Heavenly Father forever, serving Him together with joy, and when that happens, we're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to say, well played. What a heist. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.